Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey guys, it's Kayla. I'm so happy you're able to join us today because we are all still so directionally challenged. We thought we'd have it all figured out by the time we were in our 30s, but surprise, we don't, and that is okay. Happy International Women's Month. You know, we as women have a superpower that no one else can touch. If we choose and our bodies are able, we can be mothers, and our bodies have created every single human that has ever existed. And if that's not the greatest superpower, I don't know what it is. Today, we're going to talk to the superwoman who created me, literally with her body and figuratively, as she molded and shaped me into who I am today. This episode has been a long time coming, and I'm excited to have her on today because not only is she truly an incredible woman and mother, and yes, of course, I'm biased, but she works as a family and marriage therapist. She has a BS in child development and family studies and an MS in marriage and family child counseling. She's currently in private practice and still loving it. She's a mother of four and a grandmother of seven. And I don't know who else to seek advice from other than her. So without further ado, here is my lovely conversation with my mother, Susan Yule. And I am here with Susan Yule. That's right. You heard Yule as the last name. And yes, it is the infamous Susan Yule, my mother. This episode is really special to me, not only because you are on it, but when this podcast was first started in the very, very beginning, we got together a list of people that we wanted to have on it. And you were one of the people on the list. And
from the beginning?
From the very beginning. And so it's funny to me that you were so shocked when I asked you to do the podcast. So today we're going to talk to the superwoman who created me, you. And I just can't think of anyone more worthy of having this conversation with. And I know I'm biased, obviously, because you are my mother. But not only do you have your own personal life experience, you are trained in family and marriage therapy. And so you have the experience of your vastly contrasted clients throughout all the decades. So who better to seek advice from? So let's start with what being a mother means to you.
You know, I thought this would all come so easily and it would roll right off the tip of my tongue, but what you just said was so deeply moving for me. And I think what being a mother means to me is having the ability to, I'm just so lucky. I created such an amazing group of children.
There's four of us. That's a group.
That's a group. It's just been so, it's been such a journey. It's been such an amazing journey. I have learned so much about myself. But when I look at my four children and how varied and so different they are, and yet I feel like each one of them took what was the best of me and somehow just made it better, made it their own footprint, carried it forward. And so when I watch my children, when I look at the next generation, and even more beautifully, the generation they created, I really stand in awe. I stand in awe of the legacy and the entrustment. And being as many chapters into life as I am now, I know that there are gifts, not just to give my children because they've been raised, but to give their children. And it's such an amazing way to love them, to love my children by loving their children. So being a mother to me, honestly, it's the best journey there is. It's the best thing I ever did. It's what has given the last 30-something years of my life so much purpose, true purpose.
And it is really is so beautiful, but it is really difficult. And I know you hear all of us say how difficult it is all the time. And I guess we'll start with what was the single hardest part or challenge about parenting for you? Because it's obviously different for each individual. All of us are different. We have strengths, weaknesses. But looking back, because we are all grown, we've flown the nest, we've, you know, what was the single hardest part for you?
Not being able to fix every problem. You know, I'm a fixer. I'm a therapist. I want to help people. I want to solve problems. I want to, in my own life, you know, move forward and be the best and do the best. And so when you see your child hurting for any reason, it not being able to put a Band-Aid on that problem for them, to stand back and to love them, guide them, nurture them, and trust that they will find the solution that's best for them. But watching, the most difficult part is for me was watching them grow through some of life's hurdles. And it is hard. It's really hard. It's amazingly hard. It's exhausting. It tries every bit of patience you have. It is really, really hard.
And it does seem like then that answer means the sort of the teenage years, or from what I'm gathering from your answer is, you know, because when your kids are younger, you know, and when I say younger, I mean like under 10, you can sort of put a Band-Aid over whatever the problem is, right? But when they're teens and they get their heart broken, and young adults and get their heart broken, or they lose the job, or they, you know, all of those life moments that you can't control, I can imagine that would be really difficult. And, you know, even just being a mom myself now, I'm terrified for the teen years. I don't know. I mean, when I first found out I was having a girl, you know this, I was really nervous to raise a young woman in LA, you know, really anywhere you can be nervous for the teen years. But within this era of social media and this era of parenting does seem different than the late 80s, early 90s, when you had your kids.
It is hands down different. It's not even comparable. And quite honestly, I'm so grateful.
Raised your kids in those eras.
Yeah. I'm grateful that by the time social media really hit, I mean, I think there was, you know, we were on the fringe a little bit, but by the time it really hit, you guys were all pretty much had flown the nest and were on your own. And hopefully your self-esteem was intact and your morals, your values, your to help guide you through it.
We did not grow up with social media in middle school, high school, which are those really formative years, even college. And I'm wondering now, because you parented back in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, early aughts, and now you have clients, so you are still somewhat guiding kids in this era. What do you notice the differences are between the struggles of kids or teens or young adults?
I think society as a whole is moving so quickly now. Social media, post-pandemic, I can look back and see mistakes I made, and many times I wish I'd done it differently. but it's moving so quickly now that I think that it's hard. We have parents who are recovering post-pandemic, whether it's emotionally, physically, financially, at the same time as we have teens who are struggling because their education was disrupted, their social development related to education was disrupted. And so we have fragmented parents trying to raise a generation of young adults and children that were also fragmented. And, you know, we need time to heal. We need resources to heal. My opinion is that we won't truly understand the ramifications for many, many years to come, looking back on the pandemic and the quick shift on the axis of life as we knew it.
And not only the quick shift into the pandemic and the halt of everything, but weirdly, the quick shift back to wanting society to be what it was before and pretending that it didn't happen and not wearing masks anymore. And let's just pretend like it's all hunky-dory when it's not, when actually the truth is nothing is. Everyone is struggling.
Everyone, Kayla, everyone is struggling. Everyone is struggling. And you're right. We want to pretend. We want it to be what it was. You can't go through something that dramatic and profound and just pretend like everything's back on track or what it was. And I think there is a part of us just grasping for familiarity, but it's not familiar. It's a very, very different world. And I don't think we've developed the resources or the understanding yet. I'm not saying that as a criticism, by the way, because I really understand it's going to take time, but it's just kind of where we are right now transitioning. And so you take this group of, and I'm just going to talk about teens for a minute, that, you know, they're no longer going to school. They're staying at home. And so the only contact they have is with their friends through social media, computer technology. And we know, and I think you've even discussed on your podcast how addictive that can be and how it changes the way we think, how it changes our brains. And so we took a whole generation and plunged them right into it. And now they're really, really having a hard time getting traction and finding their way out of it into purposeful, productive, resourceful, satisfying, not everybody, but to a large degree, satisfaction.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's time to get more in 2024. I know for me, one of my goals is to feel really strong this year. And honestly, so far, so good. Because that's where 310 Nutrition comes in. It's helping me and our listeners in the new year with protein and super rich food products with so many options and flavors. Right now I have the chocolate bliss and caramel sundae, and they are both so delicious. I have to hide them from my husband so that he doesn't steal them too. They're a triplex protein blend, plant-based proteins that include pea, brown rice, and pumpkin that leave me feeling full. 310 Nutrition also has a hydrate electrolyte drink mix. My favorite is the peach mango flavor. So not only am I hydrating and drinking water, I have an electrolyte blend, vitamin blend, and it's sugar-free. With one stick of hydrate mix into 16 ounces of water, and it can provide the same amount of hydration equal to drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water. Thank you. This way I can keep my resolution, keep feeling strong, have greater focus, feel refreshed, and maintain my hydration without having to drink as much. One of my favorite refreshing water enhancers they have is the lemonade flavor. It gives me energy. This one's also sugar-free. It's used with real lemons and it's pH balanced. And this also offers the same hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code CHALLENGED and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 for your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products that you know you'll use and will help you keep your resolution. So go to 310nutrition.com and use the code CHALLENGED right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310-nutrition.com and use code CHALLENGED. It's all the good stuff your body needs in flavors you crave. So be healthier effortlessly.
And we're back. What tools do you give your clients that are struggling with that? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening right now really relate to this, no matter what stage they are in their lives, because like we said, almost everyone is struggling. And hey, if you're listening and you aren't, more power to you. You go. Also, if you see someone that needs some help and you're able to help them out, because I think for the most part, people really are struggling. So what tools do you give? Because yes, you acknowledge that it's not the same, but I think a lot of us, I don't know, try to think that things are the same again and forget what we went through. I don't know if that's a coping mechanism or not.
This might sound a little trite, but honestly, it really is the little things. It's learning to be good to yourself so you can be good to others. So if on a daily basis, if we are able to find ways to love and nourish ourselves, and then out of that overflow, out of that love and nourishing, can we find a little scrap to give to somebody else? Mm. You know, some of us are doing a better job and have more resources than give more. But on a daily basis, can you imagine what our society would be if we were all thinking a little bit more about the other person instead of ourselves? And I know there are people in crisis and maybe many, many people listening to us right now that almost think, how dare she say that? I'm barely paying my bills. I'm barely, you know, feeding my kids. And so it doesn't have to be monetary. It doesn't have to be financial. But sometimes it's love. It's consideration. It's even listening to someone, really listening in a way that you hear them, really hear them. My immediate knee-jerk response is I want to fix it. I want to help them. I want to have a solution. But it's not always about having the solution. It's about just acknowledging and listening and being heard.
Well, and that's so cyclical because truly that's what you say is most difficult as a parent too, is not fixing it for everyone. And so that's all part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I think that's part of the burden, is we feel like we have to fix it for everyone. That is part of the burden.
You mean, when you say we, do you mean you as therapists and family marriage counselors, or do you mean we as parents?
As a society, we need to come up with answers for other people. And we don't always have those. We don't have other people's answers. But if we listen to them, maybe we can support them in finding their own.
Mm. Yeah, I'm interested to know, you know, you say the most important thing you did is be a mother and raise us. And I know you well enough to know that you're not just saying that on this podcast to me, that you really truly believe that. And there are some interviews I wish that the video was live, because and this is one of those, because I can see how genuine you are when we're talking, and I know you so well, just like you know me. And I'm wondering, you know, you, I think, made the most selfless decision by taking a chunk of your life and choosing to raise your children over continuing your career. You put your career on hold to be fully involved in your children's lives. And I truly mean, I think this is the greatest sacrifice. You have since continued your practice now that all four of us are out of the house. But can you take us through the decision to do that? Because I think nowadays so many people are struggling with, do I try to balance all of this? How do I balance all of this? Can I just be a mother? And if it's a dual income household, can we survive on one income? It just is so much of the stress of today, I believe, is having to balance work life. And so take us through your decision.
I'm going to go way back. You know, I am lucky enough. I married a man who had a 7-year-old son. And I was able to see him parent. And it was so, I'm telling you, it was so attractive to me. I fell head over heels in love with the love he had for his child. So both your dad, my husband, and I, we were so aligned in family first. That was really a value we had. We shared that value. But then also, it was the 80s, hey, and I, in 1982, when I got my master's degree, I seriously went into this like, I don't know, I'm going to have one child and one child only because I'm going to have a career. I mean, no one's holding me back. It was post Gloria Steinem. I love what I do. To this day, I love what I do.
So it's my fault.
And I looked at this being and I realized I created her. Mm-hmm. My responsibility is to raise her and to do the very best I can. So 6 weeks later, I went right back to work because I was going to have one child. I hired the nanny, and then a miracle happened. And within a few weeks after that, I discovered I was pregnant again. And it has been such a blessing, such a joy. And it was honestly difficult to have two babies 12 months apart and a career.
I cannot even imagine.
But I still really knew that I created these amazing beings. And I always called you my sun and my moon. You guys were the world to me. And so it was my responsibility to raise you the best I could.
So then were you done at that point? You said, okay, I've got two.
No. Mm-mm.
Then at that point, you decided you wanted more kids after you had two?
Well, not right away. Not right away. A couple years went by and I just said, you know what? And it didn't have anything to do with being a boy or a girl or anything. I just went, I want another child. I just want another child. And, luckily I married a man who believes family first, which was by then the fourth child we were raising because yeah. Your brother did live with us full time. Your oldest mm-hmm. brother. And it's funny, I almost said my stepson, but I've never referred to him that way. So I don't even know where that came from because, not my biological child, but certainly in so many ways, the child I raised. And
yeah,
from the time he was 7 years old, we decided at that point, your oldest brother moved away to college and there was an extra bedroom in the house. So we thought, well, let's turn it into a nursery. Here we go. It wasn't until after that. And I think your youngest brother, Chasen, was maybe a year, maybe 18 months old. And I was working so long, so many hours. I co-owned a seminar company at that time. I was working late hours. And I remember just literally falling apart. I was away out of town doing a seminar and I called Daryl and my husband and said, I want to be the one that puts my babies to bed. I made these children. I can't do this anymore. I need to be the one that puts my babies to bed, which terrified him, absolutely terrified him. But I knew, and at that point I said, and this really relates back to your audience, that I said, I don't care if we have to sell the house and move into mm-hmm. a smaller, I will pay any price but I want these years. I want these years. I'm just going to ask for these years. But the amazing thing was it was at that point, and if Dad was here, he would absolutely agree. It just kicked him into high gear. He went, okay, so now we're going to cut out that whole income. It's go time for me. Mm-hmm. I got to be responsible.
Just to clarify, my dad hasn't left us. He's just not physically in the kitchen with my mom.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. See, I told you you'd need to edit some things out.
No, this is what makes it real. I just wanted anyone listening.
Story.
No, and please continue. This is fascinating. And I'm realizing that every child should absolutely have a conversation like this with their mother to hear the full story like this. Because growing up, we hear fragments and we hear, you know, funny stories and things like that, but we don't actually get the full story of what it's like from our parents' perspective to have us and to make these decisions. So
things got really hard, Kay. They were really hard. They were financially very difficult because...
Well, you were the breadwinner and we gave up, you guys decided to give up the breadwinner salary.
And it was in the 80s when, towards the late 80s, the economy took a dip. Construction came to a complete standstill.
Which my dad is a contractor, for anyone who doesn't know. And it's such an honorable quality and something we love about him. But also, I can imagine, you know, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours. But at that point, he was sort of on the back burner job-wise. And you were the one mm-hmm. really making the money. So to mm-hmm. make that switch would be a really tough transition.
Yeah. It just bubbled up from the inside. And I said, you know, and even though by then... you know, you were in preschool and kindergarten and elementary school. I always felt like it was my responsibility to raise my children and my responsibility to educate them, to co-educate them with their teachers. And so I needed to be as involved. And I know that sounds, probably right now, listening to myself, it sounds really controlling, but I meant it from this place of total love and support, to give you everything I was able to give you as children, so you could flourish, so you could take whatever tools you chose to take from the toolbox we gave you and build what you wanted with your lives.
Yeah, well, and you did that. Were there ever days you wish you wouldn't have quit your job? Were there ever days you wish you wouldn't have done it? Because here's the thing, you tell that story, Jones right now is 19 months. Mm-hmm. You said Chasen, your youngest, mm-hmm. my youngest brother was 18 months mm-hmm. at that point. And I wonder if there were ever moments where you wanted to be back at work. And it's okay to answer honestly.
Yeah, my feelings won't be hurt. I'm trying to really put myself back there. Were there days? Okay, sometimes it's easier to go to work. Sometimes it's easier to fix someone else's problems rather than your own. I'm sure there were days when I thought, had I stayed in my career, it would have been easier and financially, but not just financially. Yeah, had I stayed in my career, sometimes it's easy to walk out the door and hand a child to someone you trust as a caregiver. Coincidentally, 10 minutes before we hopped on, I just got finished taking care of my grandson all day. You know, there are those moments when you go, oh, you want to sing that song again? Are you kidding? Okay,
so
here we go.
You still feel it even as a grandparent. But what are, you know, you've always said, oh, it's really fun to be the grandparent because then it's your job to spoil them, which is true because, you know, you get little doses of them. Even if it's a day, it's just one day as opposed to, you know, every week. And you do, you spoil the grandkids like crazy and how fun that must be. And even Poppy said the other day to me, well, when I grow up, I'm going to be a mom. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to hear you say that because I can't wait to have a grandchild someday. That would be great. And I want to ask you, what is the single greatest lesson that your children taught you?
I think the fallacy is when we think, oh, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to have kids. We don't realize that the entire time we're raising our children, we're learning how to do it along the way. Mm. Where everybody's learning. The seven-year-old's learning how to be seven and I'm learning how to be the mother of a seven-year-old and or whatever, you know, just as an example. Everybody's learning. You haven't done this before. And there's lots of great books out there, but theory doesn't always engage in real life in the moment when you've got hungry kids and a presentation that needs to be planned or your day is planned and you wake up in the morning and a kid's got a fever and what do I do now? Or I wish back then I was as confident as I am now that that you're going to make mistakes and it's okay. But at the time, it didn't feel okay. It felt like I was totally blowing it a good amount of the time. Like, you know, and then you have the opportunity to raise multiple children in our family, four of them.
So you have the opportunity to blow it four times.
And what works with one, I'm telling you, I promise. If they just came with an owner's manual, life would be easier. Because what works with one
doesn't work with the other. Yeah.
Not even a chance. Not a chance.
Hey guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. I've asked every single one of your children what the greatest lesson you taught them was. So
do you want
to hear it?
Well, I don't have a Kleenex box.
We'll pause. You could go grab one if you want.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe you did that. Oh my gosh.
So Jenica, who's my sister, who she and I are, I guess, 13 months apart, right? Around. Mm-hmm.
You had the same due date a year apart. You came early and she came late. You had the exact same due date.
That's insane.
Oh, that's how I felt. I felt insane those first couple of years too.
You know what? Honestly, it's really refreshing to hear that because I 4-year-old, 1-year-old, I am in it and we're in it. And I know you see that in me every day, but it's nice to hear your mom say, I messed it up multiple times, because then it makes me feel like, okay, you are a therapist. You're trained in this. So sometimes I worry, oh gosh, am I not going to be as good as to, am I well equipped enough to raise a child? Which I'm sure every parent feels that and asks themselves that. But it's really nice to hear. It's reassuring. So Jenica said she doesn't know if it's a single lesson or just the confidence that you instilled in her growing up, knowing that she wasn't the best at everything, but having you believe in her gave her the confidence to make her believe that she was the best. And looking back as an adult now, she can see that there was intention and thoughtful strategy behind what she was doing, what you were doing, which I thought was really well put and so beautiful, because that's mm-hmm. something that is so important to Jenica mm-hmm. too. And then Jade, our oldest brother, who is, I guess, technically my half brother by birth, but definitely my brother. Jade says, Mom has taught me many things, but I would say one is the power of commitment. There are people who do and people who don't do. And make sure you share your feelings so you're not carrying around an emotional backpack that weighs you down. That's pretty powerful. And then Chasen, your youngest, who, by the way, I had to text 10 minutes before we came on air and say, hey, you haven't gotten back to me on this. Of course.
Of course.
says, what mom taught me is that a good martini can solve 99% of your problems. Which I will say is true. And you have taught us that. There, if there's one thing, my parents, you show up at their house. First off, your door is always open to everyone. Your welcome mat says, come as you are, which is just exactly who you guys are. And the first thing you guys say is, bar's open, go for it, you know, which is so nice because I want to have a respite for my kids to come home to in this crazy world out there. And that's what you guys have created. It doesn't matter where we are, what we're going through, we can show up at the door. And, you know, the bar is open is also a metaphor for our hearts are open. Whatever you need, come on in. And so it's a really beautiful way to experience life. And this podcast is my love letter to you. So thank you for all that you've done for all of us and for your continued guidance. Because it's funny, you know, they say, oh, once you move out of the house, you've quote unquote flown the nest. And I don't know if you ever really fly the nest. If you have a nest that is completely safe, if you have a nest that is completely open to teach you, no matter what age you are, I think you never really fly the nest. I think that you will always be able to learn, grow from the people who have loved you. And I feel really grateful because clearly not everyone grows up with a life like this. And the more I see the world, the more I realize how lucky we are to have had this. So thanks for creating that and also creating a space for us to in turn continue that with the legacy, as you were saying. So I really appreciate it. But I want you to be honest, was the emptiness the hardest part or the easiest part for you?
No, it was by far the hardest. In fact, I was thinking about that, kind of thinking about, you know, once you asked me to come on, I've done a lot of reflection on my life. And I honestly felt when my children moved out of the house, when each one left the house, I was being fired from my favorite job, the job I didn't want to quit. I didn't want to give up. You know, I knew you all needed to go away to college. I planned it. I instilled it in you. There was no going back. You were going away. You were moving out of the house. You were going away to college. I knew that. But in my heart, it broke. Little pieces broke off each time one of you left. And I just want to touch back to something you said, Kay, because what I, as a mother, I'm so grateful for now is to still be able to be involved in my children's life and how inclusive you, Kayla, are with me and the wonderful adventures we've had even after you flew the nest. And can I tell a little story?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, please. Yes, of course.
You know, when you flew back, when we all... when we moved you to Atlanta.
Oh, gosh.
When we moved you to Atlanta and both your sister and I were going back, we were going to see where you were going to live. We were going to help you find this apartment. We were going to make sure you were safe. We were, you know.
And for our listeners, yes, she's talking about when we moved to Atlanta to start the shooting of Vampire Diaries.
Right. That first, yeah. Because you'd gone to Canada and done the pilot and then the series was picked up and you moved to Georgia.
Which ironically, my state report was on Georgia, which is weird. But yeah, it's such a random state. But go ahead.
I love that. I'd forgotten that. But now I remember the Georgia peach and all of that. Yeah. But I remember that you had a first class ticket and I was flying both your sister and myself coach. And we got on the plane and you said, no, Mom, I want you to sit in first class. I'm going to sit back here with my sister. And I had never flown first class before. I'd never had that experience. So I had never flown first class, and you insisted that I take the seat that really you had worked so hard and earned. And you deserve to fly back first class, but you insisted. And you have always taken me on this amazing journey with you. And I'm the lucky one. I am the lucky one.
That's so sweet. Thank you, Mom. And I would give you that first class ticket time and time again, because I especially now know how much you gave up for us. And, you know, you brought us champagne back to coach. So it's fine. She snuck us glasses of champagne.
So I couldn't find the martini. I would have done the Cosmopolitan, but I couldn't find one.
No, it's your lemon drop that I love. That's my favorite.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
and the espresso martini's back. Thank God. We needed that. Yeah. We're happy it's back and cool again because we always loved that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Jones is only one and Poppy's four. And I still have so much left of this crazy beautiful journey to experience. So what advice do you have for me as I continue to take it on?
Mm-hmm. Trust yourself. You trust yourself. You know, first of all, you're an amazing mother. When I said take the best parts of me and make it better, I really meant that. And you are an amazing mother I am totally biased, but really special children. All my grandchildren are so special. They're just...
every grandma ever. But it should be that way. And obviously, I think they're special too. And every child should feel that their parent and grandparent think that they're...
You know what? And honestly,
heaven.
That is the role of the grandparent, to fill in, you know, the cracks and to be there with absolute love and guidance and wisdom. And I really, truly believe. In fact, I think that there was so much to be said about multi-generational families. And now it's clearly different. You know, we move away to go to school, we move away and fall in love, we move away and for our careers. And then we are truly in a childcare crisis right now. And so we're in a generational crisis in that the people that become more available to support the family are no longer necessarily geographically connected with the family, with the young children. And so we have on both sides needs that aren't being met. And that's the tragedy. But that's not answering your question.
I'm going to continue on this tangent with you because I'm not going to remember the name of the book, but I believe you read a book about the, I'm going to butcher this, so I'm going to need you to say it, but didn't you read a book about the happiest part of the world or something like that?
The Blue Zones. Yeah.
You read The Blue Zones, and remind us what that is again, because I think this is exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. That there are, it's either six or eight, I think it's eight regions in the world where our elderly population is the healthiest and most productive. And it has to do with these particular zones in the world. And one of the key factors in that is the multi-generational aspect that the connection of family, it's simple things like the extended family, the multi-generational family gets together and has dinner, if not nightly, which in some parts of the world they do, once a week.
It's the connection and the constant connection, the checking in, the how are you doing? How was your week? How was that job interview? How was that? And you're right. We don't have that much anymore in our society.
That's just one of the pillars. The others are on food, nutrition, different things. But it's not socioeconomic. It is truly that the greatest degree of happiness and support comes from a family that continues to work in a connected way like that. But that still doesn't answer your question.
No, my question was, what advice do you have for me as I take this on? And you had said, trust yourself, which is... Yeah, it's harder to do than you think. And just like you said, when you were a young mom, you felt like you were just messing it up all the time. And you probably did. And I know I am. And that's okay. And I think it's trusting ourselves and also maybe adding another element to that of letting it be okay. Whatever it is, as long as they're fed and they're in bed and they are loved, they are fine. They will be fine.
And ask for help, by the way. Ask for help. Ask for help of your parents, of your close friends, of your aunts and uncles. Ask for help. In our society, kind of even touching back to where we started, we need to look like everything is so perfect, like we've got it so together. And you know, we need to drop the masks. We need to drop the masks and really connect. By the way, back to the Blue Zones, and I know I'm hopping all over the place, but the other thing was not just being connected with family, but with peers. Having a good social, strong network also. And I think it creates longevity because it works through life. It's what we need to do. We need to ask for help. We need to be honest about our struggles. We need to help listen to each other and help each other find resources if we can.
Well, that's so beautifully put. I could go on and on with you about this. And I'm so grateful we had this conversation. I don't know why we haven't had this conversation yet. And I truly, if you're listening to this, call your mom, ask her things that you would never ask her. Talk to her about her life. Ask just generic questions like, what was the hardest part of parenting? Me. What was the hardest thing for you in your life? Because the truth is, this younger generation, I mean, you talked about listening, but we don't listen that much. We don't ask the questions and listen. We operate as if we already know. And it does come into play with all of us, you know, trying to act like we have it all together. And I do think that has a lot to do with social media, because we're constantly putting out there that we have it all together. But that's why this podcast was created, because we are admitting that we don't have it all together and we thought we would. And so thank you for your advice and your wisdom. And it was really fun for me to text my siblings and let them know that you were coming on, and all of their responses were like, oh, she's going to be so excited to come on. So I know, hopefully they listened to the episode. If not, you're in trouble. Anyways, but thank you for coming on and sharing all of this with us. If there's one last piece of advice you have for anyone listening, whether they are a mother or not a mother, or deciding whether they want to have kids or not, or deciding what career to have. You know, life is a lot. And so as a family therapist, what advice can you give us?
I wish I'd known when I was in my 30s that things would work out as beautifully as they had. I didn't know that. And be easy on yourself. Give yourself grace. And out of that, you will give grace to everyone around you. Date your spouse, hire a babysitter, or ask a neighbor, switch off with a neighbor, go on dates. I think that as we go through all the hardships of life, we have to stay flexible in our relationships and stay fluid. And so date your spouse and try and get away. Leave the kids at home for a date or a week every now and again. Go off and have a vacation.
Well, we have support from you guys, so we are able to do that. And Tanner and I definitely do that often. By the way, can you watch? No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I'll check my calendar and I'll get back with you.
Thank you. That's actually really great advice. So I'm so grateful to have had this experience with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful for everyone listening that you know, joined us on this journey, because it's pretty fun for me. So
yeah. I love you, honey.
Thank you too.
So much. Love you.
You know, it's interesting. I'm at a loss of words after this episode, and it will definitely go down as one, probably my favorite one we've ever done. I learned so many things that I didn't know. One of them being that she only wanted one child. I had no idea that that was her. I knew she was driven in her career, but I didn't realize that she had the mentality of, I'm only going to have one child. I'm driven in my career. Because to me, my life experience with her was, you know, she was just a fully devoted mother for so long. And I respect her so much, even more so than I did when we started this episode. I love how open she was sharing with me. And that was a really special conversation, and one that I will never forget. So I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. We have another great one coming for you next week. Until then, take care. Directionally Challenged is a production of Pineapple Productions, hosted by me, Kayla Yule, produced by Melissa DeMonts and Diamond Imprint Productions, editing by Diane Kang, post-production sound by Coco Lawrence, and production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.